Okay, everyone, welcome to podcast episode 107. Here I have Jake Marshall and Mitchell Gray. Say hey, guys.
Hey, hey.
Hey, guys.
Now, for the three of us recording, it probably feels like deja vu because this is our second attempt at this podcast. I'm just going to let the secret out. This is our second time in 3 days recording this because the other recording, something goofy happened to it. So, if this sounds very well rehearsed and well polished, then it's because it's our second time through.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, then this is our first time through, but
yeah, that's right.
Well, I wanted to have, Jake and Mitchell on the podcast because, Jake is a part-time flight test employee and Mitchell's full-time, flight test employee. That not very many people get to hear from. And these are two people that are doing really awesome things here at Flight Test. I asked you guys before in the last podcast if you guys were, either of you were on the podcast. And I was surprised to hear that you hadn't, which, Jake, you and I have done a lot of public speaking on FT STEM. And so maybe that's right. where I was thinking that we had... had done some stuff before. But the cool thing about Flight Test podcast is that when... You and I have spoken, Jake. I think the max, you know, that we've talked to is overall, it's been like a couple hundred, but about 15,000-ish people will hear this, 15,000 to 20,000. So
that's great.
Kind of like we're in front of a really big room right now. So
I know that's what we kind of wanted.
Yeah, absolutely. So I figured that we'll just kind of dive right into this. So for people that don't know, the reason that, you know, Jake works part-time at Flight Test is to help us develop a STEM curriculum that can be put into schools, that can be used by Boy Scouts, that can be used by, Girl Scouts for that matter, and ROTC programs and summer camps. There's a lot of applications for flight-related STEM content. And so Jake, who is a full-time teacher in Colorado... in the Denver area, has an absolutely awesome classroom. And Jake, I don't remember exactly how we got in touch with you. Do you remember how that happened?
That was a great question. I'm trying to think of it now. I'm like, I want to say it was a phone call by you guys, and you guys were inquiring about, FT STEM. And it wasn't even called FT STEM at the time. It was just called like STEM, like in general, like you guys wanted to go in some direction with STEM. And since we were pretty much a mini flight test in the classroom, that was kind of like the first call was from you guys. And I immediately jumped on it and was like, yes, I can create the curriculum for you. and it was really not even like, well, we haven't really even thought about a curriculum yet. What's a curriculum?
Yeah, right.
It kind of started from there, and then immediately some more phone conversations between Josh and I had taken place. And Josh has always had this big dream of, and it's kind of like the mission of Flight Test too, is just to spread it.
Yep.
Flight Test and scratch build aviation and create more relationships and getting out to the hobby, or getting out to the community. And it just was a natural fit for us. And then from there, we just kind of took off running with it.
Well, and for people that aren't super familiar with Jake does, Jake's program is called Mesa RC Foam Fighters, and that is his STEM group that's inside of his school. They have a YouTube channel that you can go and you can check out what they do. If you just Google Mesa RC, I'm sure that'll be the first result.
Yep.
But you guys have an amazing YouTube channel where... over the years, you have showcased your students and showcased what your program's all about and what you're doing. And, yeah, I mean, eventually there was just a point where we couldn't help but get in touch with you guys just because what you were doing was so awesome, and we had to find out more about it and find out if we could replicate that, you know, to other schools.
That's right.
And to help other schools replicate that. So
that's right, and it was perfect timing because it was one of those things where I was receiving – a lot of email and trying to help out teachers as best I could. Just pretty much was just like a broken record. I just kept on repeating myself and repeating myself, to the point where eventually, now that you guys have jumped in and have that resource backing to really create something that's a turnkey situation for a lot of these teachers that want to get going with this. It was a good partnership.
Awesome. Yeah. And before we get too much into to talking about FT STEM and kind of what we've done to try to replicate all of the awesomeness and success that your classroom has had, I figured that we would first talk about, Jake, a little bit about your program. I think that people, you know, would be interested in your, in basically the origin story of the program and how all that happened exactly. So I know that's been a while ago for you now.
Yeah.
It's been like, what, 6 years that you've been doing this?
Yeah, 6 years.
But
so, it's been that long already.
Yeah, I know. Time flies. Well, as much as you can recall, and actually it's interesting because 6 years is actually longer than Flight Test has been around. So you actually had a passion for this before Flight Test. Yeah, if you could, just talk a little bit about how your program started and how it came about.
Yeah, my background is engineering, and I started teaching at Irwin 10 years ago, so 4 years before Mesa RC happened. I taught what to us was industrial tech, so in wood shop. And wood shop has kind of morphed into this power word called STEM, where we're not necessarily creating all the same project, you know, like the teacher has the answer. You guys are all going to make the same coat rack. You guys are all going to make the same clock. You know what I mean? Now it's more like you give the kids real world type problems and you teach them design thinking strategies on how to solve it. And so that was my job. And I had an after school program called Mesa, and it was an after school Colorado State program. We did like edible cars, and we did truss bridges and roller coasters and trebuchets, and it was all fun. But when you do it every year, and there's no growth in terms of what comes out of the projects, you start to get bored, and it rubs off on the kiddos. And I had been doing scratch building in my garage for about a year before I put it in the classroom, and I was doing foam fighter planes. So Paul and Frank Petty from RC Foam Fighters, and that's where we kind of got our name from, was RC Foam Fighters. They had been doing scratch build with Dollar Tree foam for a long time, and I just was immediately hooked. I've always had a passion for flight, and then you get married, right, and you start having kids, and
I'm familiar.
That stuff has to get kind of that stuff has to get kicked out. So so luckily, my first daughter forced me to kick what I had been doing in my garage out, and I needed a place for it to go. And it was a natural fit into my after-school program at first. And I just guinea-pigged it with two kids. And my other, I think I had another 15 kids, and they did the Colorado Mesa program. And these two kiddos, they're in sophomores right now in college. And one is majoring in aerospace engineering and minoring in flight, and he's at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University in Arizona. And then we have another one who's in state, and he's studying to be a mechanical engineer. So, yeah, that was my first group of guinea pigs that we had. And to get it started, we just sent out a Craigslist ad, you know, and we had overwhelming amount of support from the community. That's what's so awesome about our community is, man, you throw up something, and we all kind of want to help. And that's what happened. We got a bunch of boxes of old stuff and some stuff that was really nice and new. And we just kind of scratch built and designed and did everything old school, manual drafting to, you know, cutting out with the foam board and with the X-Acto knives. And then we pretty much at the end of it said, you know, we can do this. We can make this. We can make this big. This can be our platform. And we decided to make a YouTube channel and, you know, started to go from there. That next year, I had signed up, you know, I had sign-ups, and I had 15 kids who signed up for it. It wasn't really, really big yet. And then we just took off with those 15 kiddos. And from there, it just exploded. So now today, 6 years in, we now have a business model because we've been following after you guys. I think you guys came into the picture around our second or third year doing it.
That makes sense.
And we just fell in love with you guys.
Oh.
And the kids, they're like, we can, you know, to help sustain it, we can potentially do exactly what Fly Test is doing. And I said, yeah, we could try. And, you know, and that's the kind of the benefit too is the kids in itself created the curriculum, you know. Every year they kind of added a new challenge for me as a teacher, and they've added a new challenge for themselves, you know, to keep building up what we've got created. And, you know, the main goal was to use this this lens of Scratchable Aviation to outfit our class. You know, we had a technology engineering design class, but there was no technology in it. The only technology that we had was the design cycle. And so we just went with it, and, you know, 5 years later, we've got over $60,000 worth of grants won. We have what we call a fabrication lab, or a creator space, or maker space, if you will. It's got, we got two lasers, we've got CNC routers, we've got a one-to-one ratio in computers, the whole gamut, you name it. It's like a little company within it, within Clashing Walls. It's pretty cool, and unfortunately, we're turning down around 200 students a year.
Wow.
For the program, so.
That's crazy, and maybe we'll, you know, talk in a little bit. That's an insane amount of students to have to turn down. Maybe we can talk a little bit later on about maybe how to scale that up, or how to get more kids involved. I know that you have some thoughts on that.
That's right. Yeah, and our school board has thoughts on that too.
I bet that they do. Well, just to step back for a second. So right when you started out, basically you guys just commandeered the wood shop, or how did that work?
Yeah, we had... So we had what used to be a modular classroom. So it was more like the students paired up. They went from station to station, and they did stuff like, you know, virtual makeover, where they gave themselves makeup and all the, yeah, it was really bizarre, but it was there. I took it. And then, you know, precision measurement modules. Then they had you know, some flight simulators, and then some robotics, and then the, like, adjacent to the room was a woodshop room that had a couple scroll saws and a bandsaw. And so that's what we started with, and I completely destroyed the module room with approval from the district and admin.
That's probably good.
I was like, I want to toss this technology out. I don't know, it's so old, and it costs so much money, and the kids aren't getting anything out of it. I want them to take away a skill from my class, and not just like a really cool project. I wanted them to do both, you know. And so the design thinking is a huge tool for our kiddos, because, you know, 21st century, 90% of the jobs is going to be STEM related, and they got to be able to problem solve and be able to work with others and collaborate. And being in a little module, going from station to station, that wasn't promoting that. So we completely just tore down all the walls, opened it up, and made a creator space. And our lens was Scratchable Aviation.
That's very, very cool. So as far as like what the actual kids are doing and what they're actually up to, in what is now, you know, probably, I mean, easily the biggest FT STEM classroom that's out there right now, what does the day to day look like for the actual kids, like, and how you're working with them, and like what they're actually up to?
Right. So now with FT STEM in full swing now, we kind of started aligning ourselves to the curriculum and to the scheduling that we have recommended on the site for FTSTEM.com that we now follow. So now the kids are actually using FT STEM for the design brief purposes. And we'll talk about that a little bit later, but they're actually using the online setup now, whereas before we didn't. We didn't have that ability, which just validates more what we're doing, and it allows us to communicate to stakeholders and board members that these are the standards that we're meeting. And it's really nice to be able to say, hey, look at this. This is what we're hitting. And I'm like, wow, this is crazy. But an everyday week, I structure it, because we're so big on what we do, we don't just do aviation. So, you know, we are flight test. So if you think about what flight test is doing at a smaller scale, you've got video production, you've got production manufacturing, you've got, you know, Josh and Peter and the crew who are designing and creating the next product line. You've got Austin, who's communicating to businesses and marketing, and you've got, you know, the rest of the team who have all these specific jobs that are making flight tests what it is. And so the way our classroom's set up is much like the same way. We have departments, and we have a department of air, and those are the engineers. That we have 15 students in that, and that their sole purpose and their sole interest is to design and develop aircraft out of foam board. Could be any type of aircraft, drones, or sorry, multirotors to planes, any of that. Then we also have a new addition to the team, which is the ground crew, which they are doing do-it-yourself trucks and cars, RC cars, using the same concept as scratch building aviation, so same thing. And then there's like 10 kids in there. I max out my kids. Mitch was probably overwhelmed on how many kids I had in there.
Yeah, it was
like 35 kids, and I overloaded because, you know, the kids are motivated. It's really easy to keep track of them. So we load it up. And then I have, which doesn't have to be a part of an FT STEM group. I have a video production crew. Those kids, they don't care about the RC stuff. All they care about is filming and editing. That's what they want to do when they grow up. So that's what they do, is they document our process and the kids' products that they create. And they do that. We have a seventh grade publicist who's like a little miniature Austin Fury. we have a manufacturing group who actually uses the same lasers as Flight Test.
Oh, wow. That's and, awesome.
Yeah, so Mitch was like, oh, this is home. Oh, yeah. Yay.
It seemed like home a lot, to be completely honest.
Yeah, and that's what they do. They are in direct communication with our consignment dealers who sell the kids' products, and they manufacture it, and they're also engineers at the same time. So when there's slowdown periods, they get to bounce off the, you know, in between laser cuts, they get to be building and engineering their own products too. So, and then it's me running around with my head chopped off, answering a billion questions and having a lot of fun.
That's totally awesome.
But yeah, so Monday is typically our Monday meetings. And kids always love it, right? Monday meetings. pretty much just kind of spells out what we're going to be doing for the week. And a lot of it's dependent on weather, too. So if we have, like, nice days on Wednesday and Thursday, we'll move some of our FT days to other ones so that we can make sure we have that time to go fly. So Tuesday will usually be a design day. We're like Socratic type. I have a kids kind of just – we get together in some part of the room with all of our laptops, and we start working on design. Utilizing 2D and 3D CAD software. And Wednesday, we usually go into more physics behind aircraft. It could be a physics, or it could be an FT workbench strand that we get into. For example, like soldering. You know, I had to teach my kids to solder. We kept on having ESC connectors break the other week. So we had a day on that, just on how to solder. And that usually takes place on Wednesdays. And then we fly on Thursdays and Fridays. Hopefully we fly on Thursdays and Fridays, where the kids just have the time just to build and to fully immerse themselves into the hobby. So that's usually how the weeks go. They're fun. They're a lot of energy. And it's the last part of the day, so the kids are like geared up for it. And we always leave on a happy note. I come home happy every day. I got a nice gig.
That's awesome, man. Well, and I also, honestly, is what I hope to do in maybe April is I'm planning out, and I'm going to propose it in one of our upcoming production meetings here at Flight Test, is I'm planning out an episode that I really want to do that's called Inside an FT Classroom, or Inside an FT STEM Classroom. And I'd love to, you know, fly myself, maybe Mitchell, then Josh, and maybe somebody that can run a video camera and just do a little episode just to help people. That explanation was great, but I think to help people wrap their brains around it a little bit, actually show what you do in your classroom and what your kids are up to in your classroom, because I know that you have some absolutely outstanding kids in that class and some absolutely outstanding graduates. And we just want to, as much as we can, just help people understand, you know, what's going on and what's possible, you know, for them and for them.
Right, yeah, It's definitely different, and I wish that, and I think eventually it will, I'll be able to have this same type of setup for my other classes as well. My other classes are more traditional, you know, the kids are sitting and getting for a little bit, and then they go to work, but they're all working on the same project.
Yeah.
You know, like, their outcomes are all going to be different, but they're all working on the same project, whereas in Mesa, or, you know, what we call FD STEM, it's all, you know, the way the class is structured, the way the curriculum is structured is that kids are going to be at different points in the hobby throughout the year. So you have kids who are just learning, you know, learning the hobby, if we want to say it that way, just learning the hobby. They're building flight test kits, and they're getting an understanding of how the foam board works and how electronics work and just the terminology. I mean, just I can sit up there and talk about how to hook up a power system to these kids the very first week, and it's like I'm speaking in a foreign language, you know, because of all the different acronyms and terminology that we use. So just, you know, the first couple months are sit and get, where it's like, yeah, this is what an ESC is, this is what a servo is, this is how a servo works, you know, this is a transmitter, TX, RX, you know, all that, that terminology is, you know, gets them going. And then from there, they start to go on their own paths. And we have kids who are in the third learning strand, which is inquiry and design, where they're taking an FT product or a Mesa product and they're changing it up and they're tweaking it to see if they can get a different performance out of it. And then there's kids who are all the way on the far strand, which Mitch knows. It's all my girls. My girls are running the ship right now.
Yeah, I was quite impressed. Yeah. A lot better than I can even fathom to think of stuff.
They're so awesome. They're so awesome.
They build and design and
that's right. So they're all in the farthest strand, which is engineering design, and they're creating their own plans. They're creating their own problems that they're solving. One right now is crazy. It's a box wing, and it's a crazy, crazy design. And hopefully we're going to be able to fly that this week to see what happens. It's going to be crazy. But yeah, she wanted to know what box wing was like and how it performs. And so that was her problem. She's using the FT engineering design model to figure it out. It's pretty cool.
Well, that's one thing I think is so important about what you're doing, Jake, is that, you know, it's so much of school is, or so much of what school should be, is trying to get kids in front of interesting problems and then giving them the tools to solve it and then letting them figure it out on their own. And like, that's such a powerful, powerful thing for real life application. And for, like you were saying, like such an insane amount of percentage of jobs will have some sort of STEM component to them, you know, in the future. And have a kid that, even if what they're doing in the future has nothing to do with airplanes or nothing to do with airplane design, they were consistently getting in front of interesting problems and figuring out how to fix it. And like, that is just, that's an incredible thing.
I think we can all, and even the people listening to the podcast can even say, you go through all the schooling and then you get thrown into your job and you're like, what did they teach me in school, man? I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing my job here, but I'm like, I'm not prepared for this. And so it's one of those, we either just give them the content and just hope for the best, or we have supplemental stuff like programs like this where we're actually teaching them how to figure it out on their own. You know, that's what the industry wants, man. They don't have the time to babysit you and hold your hands. You know, they need to get product driven. They need to get product done and out there. And so, with some of these kids going through STEM related programs around the country, that's gonna, you know, better prepare our workforce in the future.
I think, as you said, Jake, to add here, I was like, I've noticed, even I talked to your students a little bit too. I asked them, you know, do you think you're doing math and science and doing Mesa? And they said, no, we don't feel like we're doing math or science. It's really fun. And I thought, well, learning can also be fun, but it can also, I mean, it's fine to have like fun when you're learning. You don't have to, it doesn't have to be like brick and mortar, you know, sit in front of the classroom, taking notes and, I've seen like two, even I used to substitute around for a year. I substituted around. It's schools are more coming that way. Slowly and slowly, their science becoming more inquiry based. So the students don't get the answers. You give them a problem, they have to solve that problem on themselves.
That's right. Yeah, my job is to make sure that, you know, well, I'm hitting my standards. Their job is just to have fun and execute, you know. So. It's a good little relationship.
Well, I got to thank you, Jake, just because, you know, one thing that we've always championed at Flight Test is education, and we believe strongly in, you know, having a really good balance to entertaining content that, you know, you just watch and just gets you excited and puts a smile on your face, but also getting into kind of the, you know, some of the more principled stuff, you know, that really teaches you something and really grasps with education. But I don't think without you and without your classroom that we would have ever really imagined flight test as something that was more of in a formalized education setting, and to really allow students to, you know, thrive with just the little foam board airplanes that we sell. So I want to thank you for that, for helping us to think a little bit bigger, and for doing such an awesome job on this curriculum, and for getting people involved with it. We're really excited about it.
Thanks, man. Glad to be a part of it.
We're glad to have you. To kind of transition a little bit away from your classroom specifically, right now with FT STEM, even though it technically is a beta program, we've removed the beta tag from it. So now we're no longer calling it a beta program, just because I think that was confusing some people about what the meaning of beta was. Well, the reality is we have about 200 people enrolled in FT STEM, and that number is growing all the time. And I suspect with this podcast releasing that number will jump quite a bit. But we'd like to think of kind of this, the podcast as kind of our closer group, as kind of our more tight-knit group, you know, probably about 85% of people that consider them flight test fans, you know, are pretty much just subscribe on YouTube, which is totally fine. But I like to think of this podcast group as kind of a tighter knit group that we wanted to get involved with FT STEM sooner, and kind of let them know more about what we were doing sooner. And then when we venture off to Colorado to Jake's classroom to do that, you know, inside an FT STEM classroom, that's when, you know, a lot more people will know about it and know what it is. But But for people that are listening to the podcast and are kind of part of the tight-knit group, Jake, do you mind explaining a little bit of what FT STEM, and people can find that at ftstem.com, describe to them basically what it is and what it does?
it's taking what we do in Mesa RC and putting it into a curriculum that can fit as many educational environments as we possibly can. And I didn't make it just for one setting only. You can attack this curriculum however you see fit for your classroom or for your educational environment. You know, it could be for your like an actual science class. It could be a supplemental piece for your math class. It could be a supplemental piece for the troop leaders, for Boy Scouts, for a church group that wants to get something going. It really can be applied in a number of different ways. But STEM in general is science, technology, engineering, and math. And there's different philosophies out there about, you know, what is STEM. And the biggest take on STEM, no matter who you talk to, the biggest portion of it is going to be that design thinking process, that design thinking model. And there's a ton of models out there, and there's some schools that already have a design thinking model in place. And that speaking, most international baccalaureate schools have a design model already in place. And so it's a very easy fit. You would just, you know, just plug in your guys' engineering design model to fit ours. And I think it's key to teach these kids numerous approaches to solving a problem. You know, you don't just have the international baccalaureate is the correct, you know, is the right way. NASA's way of solving problems is the right way. It's just getting them exposed to it. So we created a simple engineering design model that scaffolds itself with little elementary kiddos being able to go through that process all the way up to a very sophisticated approach to solving a problem at the high school level, where they could use these design briefs. And design brief is where they are documenting their process of solving these problems. So the design brief doesn't necessarily, you know, is the final product. It's just their process. And these kids can, when they're all done with this, they can actually get these things in a pack, in a portfolio, if you say, and submit those to colleges or as an internships. It's the STEM curriculum uses FT product line. Along with the product line, over 50 lessons, hundreds of resources, the online hangars for the students, where they will be able to communicate their CAD designs to other students, to other teachers. It's just this housing, this foundation that is on ftstem.com that is going to allow the kids and the teacher to execute the FTSTEM piece in their environment.
So just to break it down a little bit, part of FTSTEM is the curriculum, which from my understanding, what you just said is it can kind of fit into whatever educational environment you're in, whether that be a community group, whether that be an actual classroom setting or an after-school setting. It's a curriculum.
That's right.
And then in addition to that, it is a – sorry, actually, is what you're hearing right now is an FTSTEM call coming
support,
in.
Support. It's a support call. Sorry, somebody that is calling right now.
We'll call you back, I promise. We'll
call you back.
That's Mitchell's phone. So it's a curriculum piece that can be implemented however you want. It's also an online component. Now, I know this was the part that was – actually, it was pretty hard to get it right. And this is something that, Jake, you and I have been working on very closely with a development team. Mm-hmm. This is really, in my opinion, the big part of FTSTEM. The curriculum is amazing, and it's going to help a lot of people. But the online component that both teachers and students can enroll in, teachers enroll for $99 a year, and then you can enroll as many students for free as you want and attach them to That's your right. teacher account. Mm-hmm. once a teacher enrolls and has a teacher's license and they pull, let's say, their 20 kids into their classroom, what goes on from there? Like how does the website work from there?
Okay. So, from there, there's if you have any issues with, there's under the support tab, it has a getting started section, where it tells you how to, get the correct FT product line, and it has you where you want to start within the website, and how to get your kids into FTSTEM online, and then go from there. So this year we rolled out beta around November, December time. Next year I'm going to be starting over just like with every other teacher.
Yep.
And so mm-hmm. with me, I'm going to go in and I'm going to look at the curriculum, and I'm going to pick the middle school curriculum, and I'm going to look at the scheduling. There's scheduling options that are recommended for teachers there. And I'm going to pick a schedule that works best for my classroom. And then I'm going to start every Monday, and Tuesday, I'm going to actually run an FTSTEM lesson. So based on the curriculum, there's unit breakdowns. The units break down from FT design to understanding the FT engineering design model thinking process. There's lessons that accompany those. And then there's LiPo safety. There's power systems. Then there actually goes into the build to fly, inquiry design, and the engineering design model. Or engineering and design at the end. So for me, I would get my new set of kids in there. So I add another 30 kids in there, and I get them all acclimated with their hangar and show them where to find the resources, because eventually they're going to get left out on their own. And so they're going to need to know where the resources are and where to find them, where to communicate to me if they have any issues or if they can't get to me in a classroom period. They have their CAD vault where they'll upload and submit their drawings for review or for some help. And then the big part of it will show them the design brief. So every student will have their own little design brief that they can create as many design briefs as they can. And I'll probably assess my students, probably since it's project-based, I'll probably do it 4 times a semester. So at the end of the whole year, they'll create anywhere between 6 to 8 design briefs. Where they're generating a problem to solve, and they're executing it through that process. And then on my side, I'll be able to, on those FTSTEM days, I'll be able to assign certain lessons to them that I want to get through to them. Some of the big ones that are helpful, is how airfoils work, how to control surfaces work, and the biggest one is center of gravity. That when the kids think they could just make a plane and go out and fly it, and they don't
nope,
even,
nope.
You know, it's like, oh, it just magically works. And then, if a plane doesn't work, does that mean that it's a failed design? You know, if you never figured out the CG to begin with, you know, it's really hard. So, and so, you know, once we kind of, I'll be really front loading it for like the first, probably the first month, really getting them through it. And then by the time, you know, towards the end of the first semester, second semester, I should be starting to weaning off the lessons and really getting them in over to the build the fly learning strand and the inquiry and design strand and the engineering design strand, where we are just the kids are building and they're testing, and then there some of those kids are also engineering and designing, and then wherever I see fit is where I'm going to add in the FT design days and add in the engineering design days for the kids. It's kind of, you kind of have to play with the group of kids that you have with you. Some kids like to be in the build to fly for a couple months. They'll build, you know, two or three FT planes before they feel comfortable enough to say, yeah, I think now that I got the hang of it, I think I want to do this.
Yeah.
You know, and then they'll go off on their own path. So, but that is the only way that you're going to get them to get to that furthest strand is if, you know, you teach them that FT workbench, those basic skills, right off the bat. To get them to those Indian learning strands. But yeah, it's every day you're going to be on FT STEM, either through race resources, teachers, through lessons. And what's even cool too is you can create your own lessons. So if you found like, you know, there's something missing, you can create a lesson and share that out too. Not FT STEM has all the right answers. You know, the whole point of FT STEM is that just like flighttest.com and with the article section, the whole same philosophy is here, is that teachers will eventually build the curriculum as we go. Teachers are going to find out what's best suited for their kids, and they're going to come up with some amazing lessons that are going to fit the same learning style as maybe someone in another part of the state or in the country, you know? So it's just going to keep on growing and growing and growing, I just can't wait.
And that's one of the things that really excites me about FT STEM is the fact that, you know, it does grow in proportion with the amount of people that are enrolled in it. So the amount of lessons and the diversity of lessons that we see with 200 people enrolled will drastically change when there's 2,000 people enrolled. And, you know, the environment will be that much richer and there'll be that many more options. And now, from what I was hearing you say, Jake, and by the way, I have to tell everyone, that Jake is also, he's a saint of something. I'm not sure what it is. It's probably patience. But when I was asked to head up the FT STEM and FT group stuff, which I'm sure we'll be doing a podcast in the near future on FT groups, we're a little bit further behind on the development of that than we are in FT STEM. But I, unlike Mitchell, who has the advantage of you know, some formal training and a teacher's license and all that fun stuff, I had no understanding whatsoever of like what curriculum was and like what these like funny names for things were. And so Jake has spent hours and hours and hours and hours just on the phone with me, just explaining stuff very patiently and, yeah, and oftentimes repeatedly. Mm-hmm. So I know you're a teacher, Jake, is because you've been very patient and I appreciate that. But from what I'm understanding of what you were just saying, Jake, is that, kind of when you start out with a new group of students in whatever environment that is, it's kind of smart to start with some of the lessons that we've that we've implemented, you know, into the curriculum. So those are there waiting for you when you enroll.
That's right.
But the goal is not to stay with the lessons. The goal is to get to the engineering and design model, or to the design brief, as you call it,
right,
where basically students are identifying a problem and then going through an online process that kind of walks you through the different thought processes for solving that problem. Does that sound accurate?
That's right. Yeah.
I got it.
That's right.
And nice. That's 4 years of college.
It comes out in a, yeah. No, I have taught you well. You can now go and fly. It's just documented in a really nice way. I think the teachers are going to be surprised when they start to receive these design briefs in their little grading section on their hangar. These kids are going to produce some pretty good work. It's awesome. I love it.
Just out of curiosity, do you have in mind a favorite or one of the favorites design briefs that a student has gone through, and can you talk a little bit about it?
Yeah. I think a lot of my kids right now, they're all in the middle of them. Right now, I think I got a couple that have been submitted to me. One of my favorites is the, he called it the Slim Project. And I actually have that up there on as an exemplar on FTSTEM. And then that one was, he created a problem, how to create a quad with no hardware, takes less than 10 minutes to make, and anybody can build it. I think those were his. He gave his own specifications, just parameters around what was it supposed to be. And we had researched, you know, some possible materials that he could do, and all of them required hardware. So he was, it was good, right? So the kid's trying to figure this out. And then we just luckily came across a gentleman out in by a town near us, and he has a signage company, and he has a bunch of leftover Gator board. I don't know if you guys ever mess with Gator board. It's like a foam board, Dollar Tree foam board on steroids.
Okay, okay, I'm with
and,
you.
And, yeah, it stinks when you laser cut it. It's super it's super strong, it's super tough and durable. And he got it, you know, we pretty much got it for free because he was donating. It was like in scrap. But it was to gold, it was gold to this kid, right?
Yeah.
So he was just like, this is so awesome. And so he designed, he went through a series of designs, and he's all using, he's actually one of the first guys to test it on FTSTEM. And he was going through the process, and he had all of his CAD drawings, and he uploaded them. And he went through all the questioning that helped guide him to his solution, which was a quad that required no hardware, just the electronics. Just some hot glue, and it was able to build it in less than 10 minutes. And the kid that he had that never had experience with quads before was able to build it in less than 10 minutes to nice. Then put, you know, nice. Equipment on there. So he solved this problem. That was a really cool one. My favorite, Gabby, my favorite, he's a freshman now at Boulder, aerospace engineering major, is Danny. And he worked with the Northern Colorado Bomb Squad and the local fire department to create a drone that could fly and record video, which is easy, right? Everyone's done that. But then to also house an RC car that can then be released from this quad to drive even further nice. And do some more recon. And he spent probably a whole semester researching and developing chassis ideas and just trying to figure out what motor is going or what series of motors is going to allow him to carry a Traxxas Rustler, you know, with gear on it. And he eventually solved it. He had a great product, and the Northern Colorado Bomb Squad team came out and with the fire department, big guys, you know, guns and badges and stuff. And so he heard this, their presentation, and he talked to them, and they said they've never seen something like this before and all the expos that they went to. And they invited him out to do some training with the SWAT team, with his drones. So that was like probably one of the most memorable ones.
That's very cool.
Was Danny's. Yeah, it was pretty awesome. And that design brief is up on FTSTEM too.
So these kids are, they're no slouches. They're not taking on like easy problems just to be able to solve them easily. They're really shooting. They're really reaching high. That's awesome.
They're reaching super. Yeah, and there's you know, I would say it's probably 80% success rate on them solving it and getting something out of it. You know.
Yeah.
There's some kids who are like, man, I'm stumped. I can't figure this out. You know, and as a teacher, you try to push them and keep them going, and sometimes you can get them to a solution. But yeah, every once in a while, these guys come up with some pretty crazy stuff, and sometimes they don't execute it. That doesn't stop them, though. They will move on to another problem, and sometimes they just need to take a break from them too. So there's some I've noticed there too. There's some design briefs that have been started, and then I can see them stumped, and then they'll leave it and they'll start a new design brief and they'll start another problem. They're like, oh my gosh, I can't figure this out. So then they go to another one. One of my past students last year, he started a plane design that was super hard, and he just was like, I'm done with this martial. I gotta do something else. So he just like left it, and he went to go start something else. And then he came back to it. It's like that couple months of just like leaving it, you know, in the back burner, and then coming back to it, he was able then to solve the geometry to figure out that plane. So it was pretty cool to see.
Well, I mean, I love that. I mean, that's real world stuff. I mean, not in real world, not every time you approach a problem is a grand slam, you know, and you gotta learn from what went wrong and course correct. And sometimes you gotta move on to an entirely different problem.
That's right. That's right.
That's awesome though. And part of what Jake was talking there is when he mentioned exemplars on ftstem.com. There is a tab on the title bar that says exemplars, where you can go see basically what these are. Is these are like we consider like example exemplars. So these are like example design briefs, example lessons. You actually get if you enroll for a teacher's license, you actually get 30 days free to check everything out. But if you want to, before you go through the work of like enrolling and stuff, you can just go to the exemplar page and see what we consider some of our top stuff. So,
yeah, we've got, I just updated. I got a couple new lessons on there for you guys to see.
Oh, cool.
One is, one's a big safety unit or lesson for high school.
Okay, nice.
Because kids, you're going to have kids who are going to be venturing into probably more multi-rotor stuff, more soldering and some little more intricate work that, you know, is going to require a little bit more steps in safety, precautions, safety awareness. And so that there's a unit on that, as well as some elementary lessons that you guys can look at too. And that's the format that they'll come in. Every lesson that you guys have access to will have the associated resources with it, so you don't have to go and find the right video and find the right worksheet. They all come with the right worksheets. They all come with the right videos to click to have your students watch. Everything is right there, ready for you to execute.
That's awesome.
And we want more. Like, we don't want like Mesa's. You know, we want more stuff on there. We want other teachers up work up there. I just can't wait. I can't wait to see other teachers what they're capable of doing with FTSTEM and see other kids' work too. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Like for teachers that are creating their own lessons and then sharing those out, you know, we hope to put some of those lessons up as exemplars. So, you know, so people can see what those teachers are doing and what those students are doing. Jake, I didn't want to take up too much more of your time, but something that a couple other things I did want to mention before we go here is something else you can access without actually enrolling is the what we call FTSTEM University. So basically is what this is it's a I think there's 20 some videos up there now that are actually of Jake and Josh Scott. And so if you guys want to see what Jake looks like, you can go to this university tab. you flew in two flight tests for 2 days and absolutely jammed out some content on how to use FTSTEM, on how to use the curriculum, just kind of basic website functions, some of that type of stuff. So we hope that those are a resource to people. Please go out. You can go to FTSTEM.com and click the university tab and check out all those videos. Maybe if some of those questions we haven't gotten to here on this podcast, maybe those will be answered for you in that video section. Another thing that people can access is the FTSTEM store. So if you go to store.ftstem.com, we've actually added a lot of products that aren't available in the regular flight test store. A lot of these are like bulk packaged FTSTEM products, or just flight test products rather, that are packaged in a way that makes sense for educators, both financially,
right, it's awesome.
Both financially and just in kind of a bulk way. So if you, for example, want to buy 20 tiny trainers for a class, you're going to get a much, much better deal through the FTSTEM store, and it's going to be shipped to you in a way that they're not like individually packaged. They're like, they're shipped differently on like
in
sheets
bulk, in bulk. Yeah.
Yeah. And sheets. So anyway, hope that's useful to people. What else am I missing? On the website that we also just installed a chat feature. So if you want to talk to myself or Mitchell or Jake, you can just drop us a line there on the chat. And if we're not online, we'll get back to you shortly. Am I missing anything else?
Professional development.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
So, oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. I almost forgot
that. That would have been
most important part, I think. Well,
that's pretty important.
Maybe second. But
so, Jake, you and your son were at Flight Fest last year.
That's right.
And I think you guys, you correct me if I'm wrong, but had a pretty good time.
It was like Disneyland.
And this year, Flight Fest East 2016, it's going to be held in Malvern, Ohio, July 14th to the 17th. You are going to be there, but with a slightly different purpose than you were. Do you want to talk a little bit what you're going to be up to at this Flight Fest?
Yeah, I'm going to continue teaching.
Shocking.
Yeah. This is our opportunity to be in an environment is what our classrooms and what our after-school programs could look like. To be in an environment where, you know, it's Mitch and I are going to educate you guys on FTSTEM and to give you that necessary training to get you guys started in the fall. For implementing FTSTEM in whatever classroom environment you have. We'll start with the basics on just understanding what the curriculum overviews are, as to understanding what the learning strands are, what's kind of the end goal, doing some backwards mapping, even planning out your first couple units in your first couple weeks with your kids coming up in the fall, and getting you familiar with the terminology, getting you into some builds, and actually going out and observing these kids. I mean, there's hundreds of kids in these build tents just tearing up foam. You know, and they're creating all these weird, weird shaped planes. He's like, is that a plane? Is that a box? You know, is that a Muppet? What the heck is that thing? And they go out and they fly it. You know, it's awesome. And you not just see individual kids going out and flying, they're all in packs, you know, they're just like hovering around watching each other and building, and then they're like, you know, squirrel, and they go running across the table line, they start building something else, and this is what your classrooms are going to look like, you know, and you get firsthand experience with that and fully immerse yourself into that, as well as to even do some flight training. Everyone shares controllers out there, you know, it's like you can walk out there and I can guarantee you can ask someone, hey, can I try your plane? And they'd be like, oh my gosh, yes, come over here. You know, so it's very friendly environment. Because I know one of the biggest fears is, well, I don't know how to fly. You know, that can't be a fear. You just got to jump right into it. I didn't know how to fly either. I crashed, I don't know, hundreds of Gates' designs when we first started. I felt so bad. But, you know, eventually you start to get the hang of it and... You know, you never really crash anymore, and you just the progress keeps going, and you just better yourself as an educator, better yourself as a pilot, and it's just going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait for it. I want to see a full tent, a tent that's specifically for us, that'll have all the necessary equipment that we need, and you guys will be able to walk home with a lot of goodies, and that feeling of like, okay, I can do this. You know, I can do this cool FTSTEM in my classroom.
Yeah, we're definitely going to be getting you guys your own build tent. Who knows? Maybe we'll put some walls on there. Maybe we'll give you a little air conditioning. We'll see how it goes.
But awesome.
Ooh, nice. That'd be nice.
But yeah, and that's part of the learning curve that we've had for FTSTEM is that, you know, we've gone and we've talked to a bunch of different schools about this, and a lot of schools are super excited about it. And the difference that a teacher might have from, for an example, like a summer camp leader is a summer camp leader can just say, yeah, we're going to order 50 FT Sparrows and we're just going to have a blast and just put them together. Where a teacher, you know, they have an additional hoop to jump through, which is getting this approved by their school administration typically. One thing that we've run into with FTSTEM is a school admin saying, great. Yeah, we'd love to purchase the curriculum. We'd love to get this into the school. Something that we do with all of our teachers before we get a new curriculum is we send them to professional development. When is your professional development? And for a long time, our answer was, it's coming soon. And,
right.
But now, it's officially not coming soon. It's just, it's going to be in July. And so it's going to be an awesome time. And, if you guys want more information on that, All of the links, you know, of things we're talking about with FTSTEM.com and the FTSTEM store and professional development, all those links will be on flighttest.com/podcasts. If you're even remotely interested in FTSTEM, I would highly encourage you guys to go to FTSTEM.com and sign up for our email list there. Right on the homepage underneath the video is an email opt-in. Just email there. And we have a couple updates already that you'll be automatically sent to catch up to speed with everyone else. And then in the future, as there's more updates, we'll send them to that list as opposed to bothering our main flight test list. So hop on that FTSTEM list and stay informed. And yeah, there's really, really exciting things coming.
Awesome.
Well, guys, I think it's possible that this podcast was actually better than the last one.
Yeah, it seems to be.
That we had a...
I'm not so nervous now.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, this is Mitchell's first podcast and Jake's first podcast, but you guys killed it. So thanks for taking the time, taking the hour with us to share all this great information. And, you know, we've been getting asked a ton, you know, what's the update with FTSTEM? Is it live? Is it back in beta? Or what's going on with it? So... I think this podcast will be a really good resource to point people towards as the update. This is what's going on. So
The foundation is done. Everything is there for you guys. Now it's just time to take flight with it and make it grow together.
Yeah, and absolutely. And really anything that is still being tweaked with it, you know, really doesn't have anything to do with the curriculum. The stuff that's being tweaked is the user experience, you know, so...
Right.
What is the teacher's experience of the website? And, you know, what is the, how easy is it to grade? Is those functions clear? Or, you know, teacher to student, you know, communication. Can a student or can a teacher, you know, interject in a design brief and leave that student feedback on a certain part of the design brief? So it's small things that we're improving. And also...
Feedback.
Yeah, feedback. There's a tab on the side of the website that says help. If you click that tab... you can leave us a comment on how to improve or if there's a feature you want to see. That's a big advantage of this early group before we really pump this thing out to the wider flight test community is we can take feedback from you guys to really make this exactly what you want it to be or make it exactly what you want to see. So we really encourage you guys to leave us feedback, either good or bad or neutral, because we'll take it and we'll use it. So. Mm-hmm. I guess one last housekeeping thing would be if anybody wants to get in touch with either Mitchell, Jake, or myself, you can contact us at support@ftstem.com. And Mitchell's unbelievably fast replying. And if you want to ping either me or Jake about something, just mark it in the subject line. And yeah, we're excited about it. And we like talking to people about it. So please.
That's right. Yes, don't be afraid to bother.
Yes,
you're not bothering us.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Well, thanks for your time today. And thanks for coming on the podcast, James. Especially you, Jake. Thanks for your patience with having to re-record this.
Yeah, thanks, Jake.
No problem. Thank you guys so much.
All right, you're welcome.
Enjoy your day.
All right, man. Thanks, you guys.
Yep.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yep. Bye.